If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Last night I saw things I can't explain. Things the police don't want to believe. And things that I don't want to believe myself, but I know what I saw. I know. And I've come to accept an awful truth. These murders are ritualistic sacrifices. We've all heard about how satanic cults are spreading through our country like some disease. And Eddie Munson, he's the leader of one of these cults. A cult that operates right here in Hawkins. The Mallfire. All those unexplained deaths over the years. Some people, they say our town is cursed. They just don't know why. Now we do. Now we know. They call themselves Hellfire.
That's bullshit! The Hellfire isn't a cult. It's a club for nerds. Erica, just the facts.
A club. A club. A harmless club. That's what they want you to think. But it's a lie. A lie designed to conceal the truth. And now this cult is protecting its leader, Eddie. Hiding him. Allowing him to continue his rampage. Last night, I became overcome with this feeling of hopelessness. Then I remembered Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And God knows there's good in this town. So much good. It's in this room. It's in this room. Right here. Right now. So I came here today, humbly, to ask for your help. To join me in this fight. Let us cast out this evil and save Hawkins together.
What are y'all just sitting around for? You heard the kid?
Stranger danger, talking stranger things together forever. We're loving stranger things. It's stranger things forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's stranger things forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
There. Stranger Things is everywhere. Greetings, stranger friends. And welcome back to Stranger Things Forever, where today we will continue talking about The Dive, where we're going to be covering the next 10 minutes 30 to 40. But before I get to that, Stranger Things is everywhere. In just the last couple days, I got a couple emails. Well, I'm sure we all did. The first one talking about that we're invited, everyone's invited, be among the first to sign up for the Stranger Things 5 premiere watch party. Join fellow superfans to watch the Stranger Things 5 red carpet premiere live from Los Angeles on November 6th. The ultimate free virtual event will be packed with interactive games, cast interviews, and a sneak peek at the first 5 minutes of Stranger Things 5. The first 5 of 5. Don't miss your chance to join the Stranger Things 5 premiere transmission. RSVP now with a link to RSVP. And I have to tell you, I love that they're gearing up and they're going to have the premiere. And I'm going to say it. I hate that they're giving us the first 5 minutes. Hate. I don't like it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to watch it as 5 minutes. Probably it's probably the 5 minutes before the credits. So now I know. Now I already know that 5 minutes of Stranger Things is going to happen before we get to the credits. That's at least my assumption. And I don't want anything out there talking about the first 5 minutes, because once that's out there, everybody's going to be talking about it. So if you want to avoid it, you can't. Is it going to be spoiler filled? Is it going to be major things happening? No, it's a tease. It's to get you into the season. But I'm okay with not seeing it. And I don't know if I can avoid it. Now, I don't really tweet anymore. So the only places I would see it would be like Google News page, those moments I do look at Facebook, and maybe a Blue Sky. Well, and TikTok. So it's like, it's almost going to be unavoidable. But I don't want to focus on it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to, like, I don't want it to get in my brain and be like, well, and then start thinking, what is this? What is that? What I want it to be presented to me on the day it comes out, and I watch it completely. And that's what I did. I did do that for Stranger Things 4. I did not watch the first 5 minutes, and I'm going to do my best. Put it this way, and this might be a bad thing to say being a Stranger Things podcast, but I don't think I don't plan on podcasting about it. So I'm putting it out there. Like, it's not that I'm like oblivious to it. It's that I'm hoping to actively ignore it. I hate to say it, but that's kind of what I want to do. I want, like, the 25th, 26th of November, to me, is such a, like, special day that we've been waiting for forever, that I want that to be the day that I sit down and watch this first episode from start to finish, seeing everything for the first time. And I'm probably very alone, like very, I'm sure this is an unpopular opinion, especially for like people who are podcasting about the show that are like super fans and they want to talk about a blog, podcasting, whatever it is, you know, TikTok, video posting, content creating of any kind. They are going to, they like are satiating their, whatever, they're hungry for this kind of stuff. We're hungry for this. We've been waiting for years for this. And yet, like, I don't want it. I want it on the day it comes out. That's probably very unpopular, and I'm probably in the minority here. And I'm not sure I want to watch those 5 minutes. But then again, I might. After everything I said, then again, I might. But that's it. That's still over a week away. I don't want to think about it now. And again, the moment it's out there, it's going to be everywhere. So it's almost like maybe I should watch it, but I don't want to focus on it for this show. So maybe, look at that. I completely did a 180. Maybe I will watch it because you almost have to. And maybe, oh my God, am I completely going to change my mind and now think, well, maybe I could do a quick 5 minutes on the 5 minutes. I don't know. I'm talking myself into it and out of it each time. Welcome to the show. I mean, this is like, I went and wanted to give you quick updates about some things I got emails on. This was one of them. And I had this wholehearted approach of, I don't want to watch this. I want to avoid it. But now you might have just seen me change my mind in real time. We'll see. I don't know. Ooh, stick around. Maybe that's a tease. Ooh, we'll find out. But I did get another email, a completely like separate email, nothing to do with Netflix, from something called Sandbox VR Metro Public Relations. So I got this email from someone named Kelsey at Metro Public Relations. I have no idea what this is, but they sent it to the Stranger Danger email account, and it says, hi, team, so maybe I signed up for something before. Ever wanted to step into the Upside Down? Wanted to put Stranger Things Catalyst, the all-new immersive VR experience from Sandbox VR and Netflix on your radar for coverage consideration for your podcast? Oh, well, it just happened. I literally am reading this email. I saw a quick thing. So, interesting. Played in person with up to six friends, Stranger Things Catalyst is a fully physical adventure where guests are pulled into the Upside Down and granted Eleven's telekinetic powers to battle demo bats, demo dogs, and even the terrifying Demogorgon. It's Demogorgons. In Dungeons & Dragons, it's Demogorgon. There's one. In Stranger Things, it's plural. Just throwing that out there. Watch the trailer for the experience here. Ooh, Stranger Things Catalyst is now open in all Sandbox VR locations worldwide. I don't know what that is. The premier destination for a premier location-based virtual reality experiences. I'll put a link to this in the show notes. You can check it out. I don't know what this is, but I guess it's a VR thing where you get to be in Hawkins dealing with monsters. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. Another thing I wanted to talk about real quick was this was posted on Netflix to Doom yesterday. A blog post, One Last Adventure. Join Stranger Things for one last adventure with these global fan events. Stranger Things is turning the world upside down. Find an event in your city. Your presence is requested, nerds. As the gang gears up for the final battle in Stranger Things 5, arriving with Volume 1 on November 26th, they'll need everyone, the full party, standing together. In honor of the epic road ahead, you're invited to come together with some other nerds to, well, not some other nerds, with other nerds to celebrate the iconic series with virtual and in-person events around the globe. Hey, we live on the globe. Hit the streets in your 80s best for a self-guided bike ride around a select U.S. city. Really? So I guess you just like listen to a podcast while you're riding your bike, or grab a slice of Surfer Boy pizza and tune in to the global live stream of the world premiere from the comfort of your couch. Ready to join the party? Embrace the Hellfire Club spirit and show your Stranger Things fandom loudly and proudly at any of these gatherings below. Keep scrolling for a full list, blah, blah, blah. So these are things all over the world. So I feel like I still have to get Stranger Things, a Surfer Boy pizza. I got some Doritos. I got some waffles. And now I got to go to Walmart, I think, get that Surfer Boy pizza. Nothing but health food for me and Stranger Things. So there's a list of events all over. We got the Americas, Europe, Asia, Africa. That's where I bless the rains. Oceania, you know, Australia, in New Zealand. And well, for Oceania, I think I said that right. It's Sydney, Australia. Let's go to the Americas. Okay. Cities around the U.S., it's where they have cities around the U.S., but then they also highlight cities around the U.S. and Canada, or cities across the U.S. L.A., New York, those are highlighted as their own thing. So what is cities across the U.S.? The last bike ride self-guided routes on November 23rd. Fans all around the country can take part in a self-guided bike route through iconic spots in their cities for the ultimate celebration of the final season. The ride can be done at your own pace and at any time of day. Keep an eye out for any fellow fans on the trail at the same time. This is a perfect opportunity to chat about the upcoming season. Plus, one lucky participant will win a Stranger Things branded bike. Why do I sound like Dracula? All you need to do is register to enter into the drawing. More details in the links below. And you can do a bike ride in Atlanta, Chicago, D.C., Houston, Las Vegas, New York City, Raleigh, and San Francisco. They say the heart of rock and roll is still beating. There's also cities around the U.S. and Canada. Join fans across the U.S. and Canada to watch this and celebrate the series finale in theaters on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. More information will be made available later. So we still don't know where these theaters will be showing Stranger Things finale, the Stranger Things 5 finale, but I'm hoping it's like every Cinemark or every AMC, because I don't want to have to go to Boston if I do want to go on New Year's Day and watch it again. Obviously, watch it again. And then there's just stuff on the world premiere in Los Angeles and in New York City. Also, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Yes, that's the other thing I wanted to talk about. Stranger Things will take over the streets of Manhattan this Thanksgiving as the brand new Upside Down Invasion Stranger Things float makes its debut in the 99th Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. The Upside Down will thrill audiences on the streets of New York and across America as a Demogorgon creates chaos along the parade route. Awesome. That's November 27th at 8:30 a.m. It says that's when the parade starts. I will be in the midst of a 5K, so I usually come home a little later, a little after 9 or so, maybe like 9:30 I'll be home. And I will, at this point, I probably would have watched all the Stranger Things episodes. Well, who knows? Maybe I didn't because I focused so much on getting the first episode up. I'm talking about myself in the future. My point is I might not see this live, but I definitely will be checking out the parade and reminding or fast-forwarding, looking for the Demogorgon. So, minutes 30 to 40 of the dive, we pick up with our friends in the woods where it's a nice moment between Nancy and Robin where Robin talks about, she was saying previously about, you know, romances rekindled and would that be so terrible, she said, to wish for happiness for my friends. And Nancy's like, you don't think I'm happy? And Robin's like, oh, no, I'm sure you are. It's just she brings up Jonathan and mentioned that Nancy flinched a little bit. She's like, I didn't do that. She's like, we're fine. We're good. She's like, okay, cool. But then she opens up how he was supposed to come for break. And then he backed out at the last minute for some vague reason. And, you know, she's not surprised. You know, he's so many miles away. And, you know, it's like she could feel him pulling away. She doesn't know if he met someone or anything like that. But, you know, it's like now she can't even find out because something like apparently he's blown up the phone or something like that. Like he's not picking up the phone. Well, Nancy, you have no idea. The phone's not maybe it wasn't blown up, but it was probably shot up. And she says, you know, like, so if the mention of his name, you know, makes my face spasm, it's, you know, that's probably why. But she says to Robin, you know, you mentioned happiness, you know, of your friends. Does that make us friends? And they're like, as in officially? She's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, right, yes. I thought that was really cool because it's so quick. You see Nancy smile at that, at the prospect of, you know, actually friends. But it's like at the last moment you see Robin behind Nancy and a big smile goes on her face too. Like, yeah, we are actually friends here. And that I thought that was really sweet. So as they're walking along, Steve is all proud and cocky because, yes, he found Skull Rock. He knew exactly where to go. And Dustin was like, huh? Like he seemed confused why he couldn't find Skull Rock. So he called Dustin a butthead, and all of a sudden Eddie pops out, is like, you, Dustin Henderson, are a total butthead. And Dustin just goes up, he's like, oh, you know, I thought you were a goner. He's like, yeah, me too. They gives him a big hug, and that was a nice moment. They finally caught up with Eddie. Meanwhile, while this group is, you know, happy to finally catch up with Eddie because they want to protect him and keep him safe, most of, I'm not going to say all, but most of the rest of the town wants him caught and strung up, it seems like. Like, we jump over to the town hall that Chief Powell talked about at the press conference he gave. And the first person, the first thing a woman says is, how long have you known that Eddie was killing these kids? It's like, it was his trailer where Chrissy was killed. And you expect us to believe he was made suspect just this morning? And Powell's like, you know, the truth is we're following several leads and Eddie is one of them. And they're like, you know, in the meantime, we're going to start doing a strict curfew. And they're like, what? You think that's the solution? Like, he's, you know, hide from him. Like, we've already been doing that. It's been days. And, you know, and then Powell's like, listen, I understand you're upset, but I promise you we will find him. And then the seas part and pricks are everywhere because the basketball team shows up and Jason goes, no, you won't. And Powell's like, hey, you know, why don't we talk about this in private? He's like, what? So you can keep me quiet? You can keep the truth from coming out? And then this is where Jason shows his persuasion, as the kid is a very smooth talker. And it also shows, it's funny because in a weird way, if you saw everything that Jason saw, like, how would you react? Because you don't know any of this stuff that's been going on in Hawkins. You don't know the truth of everything. You've been kept in the dark. All of a sudden, you start seeing these crazy things. And he starts telling people, you know, I've seen things I can't explain. Like last night, and the police, the things the police don't want you to believe, or the police don't want to believe, and things that I don't want to believe myself, but I know what I saw. And he goes on and on, and he says that Eddie Munson is the leader of one of these cults, these satanic cults that have been spreading across the country. No, they haven't. No, they weren't. Not true. And there's a cult that operates here in Hawkins. And this is when he's like, the mall fire, all those unexplained deaths over the years. And that's kind of funny when you think about it. How would the rest of the town react to not knowing the truth, but seeing all these terrible things happen in this town? So this kid, Jason, he is a hothead. He's a prick. I'm going to say it. But he's also scared and he's confused and he doesn't know what the hell he's seeing. He seems like he's a very God-fearing man. But he's also using that to focus, not to understand, but to kind of attack. And he's using that against, I think he's using it against the people, you know, about how he quotes the Bible and all these things. Like, I feel like he is exploiting these people's feelings and, you know, their religious beliefs to say that what he's seeing is like satanic and it's because of hellfire. And then Erica's like, that bullshit. She's like, it's a club for nerds. And like, she's like, just the facts. I love that. He's like, oh, a harmless club. That's what you think, but it's a lie designed to conceal the truth. And now this cult leader is, you know, protecting. Oh, the cult is protecting its leader, Eddie. And he starts passing out flyers of the entire Hellfire Club, which includes Dustin, Mike, and Lucas. And you could see their parents look at each other like, what? What's going on here? And so he's like, this guy says, you know, let us join me in this fight. Jason says, join me in this fight. Let's cast out this evil and save Hawkins together. And everyone just looks at him. This one dude gets up, starts walking out, and he turns around. And he goes, what are you doing? Just sitting around for? You heard the kid. And so they're all galvanizing behind them. So now it's like the posse is being round up, the posse of pricks. It's just like, basically, I can't think of the word. I was trying to say militia, but it's like just vigilante justice, I think is what they're going to see. And that's fine. Vigilante justice is fine when you are a billionaire who dresses like a bat. I have no problem with that. But when you are a town full of people who are chasing after a teenage boy that you think is a satanic murderer, maybe, you know, sit back, take a breath, have a drink, have a glass of water, and just kind of think this through. But no. It's like he's getting the mob mentality. He's getting them riled up, and it worked. This one guy kind of like, he was like the trickle, you know, the snowball effect. He gets up, all of a sudden everyone starts getting up, and Paul's like, hey, I want, you know, anyone who's interfering with this investigation will be arrested. Hey, and we're still giving you that curfew. And you can see Jason just turn around like, you know, gives him a smug look. If I was Powell, I'd arrest Jason right there. And what would my charges be? Disturbing the peace and causing a ruckus. I don't know if that's a crime, but definitely disturbing the peace, because that's what he's doing to me, I think. You know, causing alarm, like panic. There's got to be something they could do. I would take that kid and I'd put him behind bars and say, you can sleep it off for 24 hours. Then, of course, the parents would probably come and go, that's my son, Jason. By the way, where are Jason's parents? Where are they? No, none of the basketball players have parents there. Or if they do, like I don't know. But what's going on there? I don't know. That who cares? The fact is, Jason is a villain in this show that has actual villains. He's the kind of the humanized version of villainy. And he doesn't need to be humanized any more than he already is. So we don't need to worry about him having parents. So we leave Hawkins. We leave downtown Hawkins, the Hawkins Town Hall. We do get back to Hawkins before the end of this 10 minutes. But we go all the way over to Utah where we have Argyle, Jonathan, Will, and Mike talking to Susie, and she's like, okay, that she, it's funny because she says, okay, that is a lot to process. I mean, that's like one of the craziest things I've ever heard. And like, I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. It's all true. And you think they tease you where you think they basically just opened up to Susie and told her everything. The gates, 11, the upside down, the Demogorgons, everything. And really what she did last year when she sang that song. But in truth, they're just lying to her. She's like, okay, so I dial in, you know, this number into a computer. I find a location and that location is the Nina Project. They're like, yes. So you're thinking, okay, they told her. And the Nina Project is a codename for a video game. And then you realize, oh, they're just BSing her. They're, maybe you could say they're protecting her, because they don't want her to know everything that's going on. But they're like, it's this crazily, it's like the basically America's answer to Nintendo, American-tendo, which I thought is funny, which Nintendo Entertainment System, I feel like Nintendo Entertainment System is America's answer to Nintendo. Because over in Japan, it was called Famicom, Family Computer. But over here, they called it Nintendo Entertainment System. I guess, I mean, it's still a Japanese, it's the, you know, it's a Japanese product coming to America. So American-tendo, which is a stupid name. I think that was funny. Even she says, that's a stupid name. He's like, you're right. It's stupid. But Susie, it's 16-bit. Now, I wonder if any of you know what that even means and how incredible that was and how unheard of that would have been at that point. So I don't know what bits even mean. I just know that the more bits, the better. And when Nintendo came out, the Nintendo Entertainment System is an 8-bit video game system. At the same time, the Sega Master System came out with an 8-bit. That was their Sega's version of 8-bit. We had the Sega first. Then there came the next level in video game consoles. Because before Nintendo, it was Atari. It really was like Atari. There were other things, ColecoVision and Television. Those were the two big ones, the Commodore 64, home computers. But really, Atari was the big one. There was the 2600, the 7800, and maybe a third one in between, like a 54. I don't know. Either way, I know I'm getting sidetracked, but that's fine. Because I love talking about this stuff. After Nintendo came out with their entertainment system and Sega had the Master System, it was, let's get to the next level. And that next level was, if you've ever heard of it, and I'm sure you have, the Sega Genesis. The Sega Genesis was the 16-bit arcade, like a home video game console that I remember when I first got it, I thought, oh my God, it almost looks like the arcade. This is incredible. That's what games looked like. And we got the Sega Genesis, I believe, when I was in eighth grade, because I think it was around the same time I was going on our eighth grade Washington trip. So that had to have been either 1989 or 1990. But I have this memory of like my brother and I explaining to my parents, you don't understand. We can get an adapter. We can still play all our old Sega Master System games. So it's an investment in our future. And I guess they bought it because they bought it. Now, if you have if you are alive at that time and were playing video games and, you know, at the age of playing video games, if you didn't have a Sega Genesis, but you were a video gamer, that means you had Nintendo's answer to the 16-bit console war, the Super Nintendo. The Super Nintendo is a 16-bit console. It's a great console. I never had it. I've played it a few times, but I was a Genesis guy. When I went to college, guess what? I took my Genesis with me. My brother already had a PlayStation at that point, I think, or he got, maybe got one like in my second year. Anyway, at that time, I was so into video games that this is believable, that you would have a video game contest to learn about a brand new console. And that was a very long segue, and now I'm back. Whew. I feel like I just kind of floated off into a rabbit hole of video games, and I slowly brought it back. So, you know, Susie's like, how come I've never heard of it? Like, it's very top secret. But then they tell her, oh, you know, we're not getting it for us. We came all the way here because it's for Dustin. And she's like, oh, okay, well, if it's for Dustin's birthday, which she knows exactly when it is, she's like, I wish I could help you. But then she talks about how it got discovered. Oh, she had so much guilt after helping Dustin change a grade that she confessed to her father that she, A, was, you know, was in a cheating scandal, and B, that she was dating an agnostic. An agnostic. Can you believe that? She'd never seen father so angry. And because of that, he took her computer and locked it up in his office, and he's always in there working. So really, there's no way for them to get to it. But then she has an idea. She's like, unless there might be a way, but we're gonna need some help. So, and she means a lot of help. So it sounds like she needs to get everyone in that house involved. But we jump away from Utah. We don't go back to Utah. We jump back to Hawkins, and this time we're with the Wheelers. We're with the Sinclairs. And we're with Mrs. Henderson as they all converge at the Wheeler house. So they all go back there. Lucas's parents, Dustin's mom, and Mike and Nancy's parents. And she's like, guys, where are you? They said they went to a movie that was 4 hours ago. No one's there. And Eric is like, I'm sorry to tell you this, Mrs. Wheeler, but they lied to you. And they're like, you don't think he's actually involved with Eddie, do you? And the dad was like, you know, at this point, I think anything's possible. And Mrs. Weir's like, our children are not murderers, Ted. He's like, don't put words in my mouth. You see, he starts complaining, like, she twists my words. And then she picks up the phone and like, she's like, are you calling the theater? I think Erica said that. And she says, no, the police. So she's calling the police. So that's where we leave that group. But we then go back and finish up Skull Rock. We go back there, and Eddie was kind of talking about what happened, about how he got to the shore. He tried calling them, but his walkie got busted and drenched when they were in the water. And he's like, oh, so did my watch, I guess, too. So the watch got stuck at the exact time he fell in the water. And he knows exactly what time it was, and it turns out that time was exactly at the same time where they had the energy surge, which is exactly at the same time Patrick died. So Nancy, that's when they're like, what does that mean? And Nancy says, that surge of energy was Vecna attacking Patrick. Oh, that's it. That's the end. That's the end of those 10 minutes. My goodness gracious. But I did want to mention, while they were talking to Eddie, I liked in the background, it wasn't mentioned yet, but Dustin's kind of still looking at his compass, looking around. Like, it was a really cool little tease where Dustin was leading them using the compass to Skull Rock, but it wasn't, they were going in the wrong direction. And Steve just used his memory and, you know, the fact that he, I guess, took at least one girl or maybe a couple girls out there to study, I'll say. Maybe they just studied or read poetry or just hung out and looked at nature. Anyway, I liked it. That was a little tease that something's going on, something with the compass, and they're showing it again. I love showing, not telling. So while they're talking to each other, Dustin's in the background, you know, kind of focusing on his compass. But what did we learn in these 10 minutes? Well, we learned that, the big thing with the Skull Rock is we learned that the surge of energy was when Patrick was killed. So they know what that surge of energy means. It means Vecna was, you know, getting down and dirty. And it's the exact moment that, they didn't doubt that Eddie killed, you know, Patrick. But now they know the time. So that's really what that we accomplish with that. In Utah, they convinced Susie to help them, though she's going to need some help. But they did it in a little white lie, not quite truthful way. They convinced her to help. I would like this season for Susie to just find out everything that's going on. I don't think she's going to go to Hawkins. Well, she could. She could like defy her parents and go, because Hawkins is like a military zone, and I don't think her parents would let her go. But I really want Susie to know. I need people to know. We did get a moment of Argyle, and is it Eve? Is that the girl's name? I forget. It's funny. I'm reading a book right now, and there's a teenage daughter, and for some reason, I always pick like what a character might look like. And when I watched these 10 minutes today, I said, I must have picked, like, I saw her recently as a rebellious teenage daughter. And Susie's sisters, who I picked, I guess, for this book I'm reading. I just thought that was, I was like, oh, I guess that was the what I was picturing. I didn't even, like, it was subconscious. But they are going to get help, even though they're lying to her about why. They're going to try to get help. And then, of course, the big thing in Hawkins is... the whole town's looking for Hellfire and looking for Eddie. And so it's not only Eddie who's hiding out, but it's the rest of these guys need to be hiding out too now. I don't think they realize it. But that is for another day, for another 10 minutes of Stranger Things. And I need to start doing 2 episodes a day. I know I need to. It's not going to happen today, but I'm glad I was able to get this one done and out to you guys. So that's it. I can't wait to talk another 10 minutes of Stranger Things with you guys very soon. Very soon. I mean, tomorrow is going to definitely be an episode. We'll just see how many I do. And I got to get to a point where I'm doing more than one. I have to. I'm running out of time. But don't worry. I got all the time in the world. I got a time machine. Or I shouldn't say that. Sleep schmeep. Sleep is for people who don't podcast. That's what I say. So, until the next time you hear from me, you can find me on all the socials at Geek Mentality, except TikTok, which is Geek Mentality Mike. The Facebook page is fans.experts. The YouTube channel is fans.experts. And the website where all my podcasts are found can be found at fans.experts.com, except you can also, or I shouldn't say except, but you can also go straight to Stranger Danger by visiting strangerdangerpodcast.com. That's it. I'm done. I will talk to you soon. But until then, Stranger Friends, remember, you and I, and fans like us all over the world, we are the ones who will keep Stranger Things alive forever.
Fans Not Experts.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.